knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
He's Dean Richards, America's most powerful film critic. Hello, Dean.
Fine. I love that title.
You know what they're saying about you? They're saying there's only one man in this country that can make or break a film, and that man's name is Dean Richards. That's what they're saying.
I'm going to have all of that put on the world's longest business card that you've ever seen.
No one will believe it, Dean.
I believe it.
I don't believe it,
oh,
though.
Oh, no. What happened to credibility? Dean,
Somebody. My mom would like to see that. Would enjoy a business card.
Yeah, I don't think she'd believe that either, but maybe.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe, yeah.
Dean,
my mom still thinks that I fix radios for a living.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
She knows you're in the radio business, but not sure exactly in what capacity.
Yeah, she's pretty sure that I fix, like, old tube radios.
That's beautiful.
Like the old days where you would take your TV tubes to the drugstore to test them on that giant monstrosity machine, whatever that was.
Wow, you are old. I don't remember that. But maybe my dad did it. I didn't do it.
Yeah, there was always at a drugstore, there was in all the way in the back, there was a machine that looked like Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons, and you would plug your tube in and see if it was working or not.
And see if your tubes are working properly, and then you buy new tubes there.
And don't you pretend had yours, like, didn't you have yours tied there, Dean? I'm trying to remember what happened.
What'd you say?
You had your TV tubes tied there, didn't you?
I did. My TV tubes tied. It became too difficult to constantly have them tested.
And then
all
no
the time.
More TV.
No more TV at the Richards
that
house.
Happens.
No, that's what happens.
Right.
Dean, this is a sad story, and Judy and I talked about it early in the show, but we want your reaction to this. It looks like the Brady's house. The house that was used as the exterior on the Brady Bunch is being sold or demolished. Did you hear about this?
I did hear that story. I don't really know much more than what you've just said, but I'm devastated by stuff like that.
Yeah.
In these iconic places. Was it part of like a Hollywood tour or some way where they could monetize the historic nature of that house? Because I would pay to go on a tour of a house like that.
You know what? Years
I'm sure
ago,
it looked completely different inside. Than
oh yeah, 100%
from
different.
The show.
100%.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, and see, Dean, I thought it was the same inside. No, it looks nothing like that inside. So I don't know that that would even work. And it's in a neighborhood. I just passed by it in person a few months ago.
Judy's son lives right by it.
Yeah, he lives a block away. And I noticed, I recognized it immediately, although they had this wrought iron fence in front of it. But, yeah, I don't know how you could, if you just go to see the outside, you could just drive by. Why would you even pay anyone?
Yeah.
Why would you pay anyone,
yeah,
right?
That's the problem.
Is it too much to ask that your son chain himself to a tree to prevent the demolition of it?
No, it's not. You know what? He's still looking for a job, so he obviously has free time.
Yeah.
I will have him chain himself to the chain link fence they have up, or the wrought iron fence, rather. Yeah.
Dean, you know who's very upset about this? The next door neighbors, the Dittmeyers. They're furious about this.
I can understand. How's Sam the Butcher feel about all this? He's about to lose a really good family.
Yeah, that's very upsetting to him, isn't it?
Marsha.
Years ago, when my family visited California when I was in high school, we did a tour of all the hot spots in and around the television hot spots, and that was one of the houses on the tour, and people just gasped when they saw it. It's like, wow, we know this house inside out. There it is right there.
I'm such a dork. I love stuff like that. Usually when I'm in L.A., I don't have time, but when I do, I've gone on those tours of the stars' homes.
Yeah.
So would you
really
recommend that?
Fantastic, and you hear great stories. You know, if the tour guides are good, they tell you great stories, like the time the tour guide that I was with several years ago drove by and showed us Lucille Ball's house and showed us Dean Martin's house, and they all lived near each other. And he said this was the home of Jimmy Stewart, where the bus broke down one day right in front of Jimmy Stewart's house. And this was in the days before cell phones. So the bus driver goes up to the door, rings the bell, and to use the phone to get some help for the broken down bus.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Stewart answers the door, comes outside, brings cookies for everybody on the bus, signs autographs, takes pictures. And these great stories, couple that with the story from this bus driver of driving by a famous, still active, famous female singer who had big hedges around her house, and didn't like that the tour buses were coming by her house, and would often be seen coming out from behind the hedges to give the one finger peace salute to the tour bus that was driving by. I wish I could tell you who it was, but that story is slightly libelous.
No, be careful. Be careful. But that's beautiful that she'd flip off a tour bus. That's
isn't that why they're famous? They, you know, don't you want to be recognized?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole point?
You want to be recognized, but, you know, when you're at home, you want your privacy also. But so big deal, a bus is driving by.
Yeah, they're not bothering them.
You have big hedges around your house. Just stay behind the hedge and no one will see you.
You know what?
You don't have to come outside.
She's the publicity seeker.
Yes, you want your privacy so much that you've come out from behind the hedge in order to flip off the bus that's going by. That doesn't make a bit of sense.
It takes effort.
I hate her, whoever she is.
On the tour that we took, my family and I took, again, it's all the big houses of the TV stars.
So you would recommend some?
I recommended it.
I would never think to do that, but now hearing you two.
It's fun. All right, so here's our tour bus. We went by Johnny Carson's house, and it gets almost no reaction from the people on the bus. Then we go by Barbara Streisand's house, and it gets almost reaction. Then he tells us, we're going by this house, and he goes, and one time, he goes, and I was driving the bus when it happened, Stacy Keach came out and picked up his paper, and the guy sitting across from me goes, whoa. He was impressed by Stacy Keach.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow is right.
Stacy Keach was in town right now doing a play at the Goodman.
A play about that incident. About the time he went and picked up his newspaper.
You know what? Stacy Keach is on the TV morning show tomorrow.
Is
I'm going to ask him. I'm not going to ask him anything about his play. I'm only going to ask him about the tour buses.
Say hi. How was that paper you picked up that one time, Stacy?
You still have it?
Right. If he's got a certain technique. Let me see if Bill's dorkdom is goes even this far, and I suspect that it probably has if I know my Bill Lefts.
Yep.
Have you gone to the Hollywood cemeteries also?
We went to Roselawn when I was there. That's the one that Marilyn Monroe is there. There's a bunch of famous people at Roselawn. We drove through that.
There's a bunch of famous cemeteries. Roselawn is one of them. One's called Hollywood Forever. I don't remember all the names, but it's kind of cool. You walk around and where Marilyn Monroe's... she's entombed in a mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walk just a few steps away, Merv Griffin is there, and Don Knotts. And
Now, aren't there flowers at Marilyn Monroe's grave every day?
I think
always.
From Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio paid a company to do that forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
And can you go there just on your own?
It's a mausoleum. It's not an actual grave, but in front of the little crypt and where that her remains are in. There are always what appear to be fresh flowers, yes.
Wow. Can you go to the cemeteries just on your own, or do you need to do that through a service? Oh, okay.
No, I went, a friend of mine, I was out there and had some time, and a friend of mine said, you want to go to a cemetery? I'll give you an idea of some of my friends and what we like to do. But
we
went to one
dead?
Of these cemeteries, and it was the greatest. It was so much fun. You're getting close to, remains.
The of the stars. Yeah.
Of these people who are legendary, whoever thought that I would be standing near Barney Fife.
Six feet above, if my calculations are correct. Right. That's what a feeling that must be. All right. Stay where you are, everybody. In a little bit, we'll come back and Dean will tell us about the new movies that are opening this weekend. It's Bill Leff, and it's Judy Pilak. Judy's filling in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. Dean, are you there? Hold on a second. Let me hook you
up. I am.
There you are. How are you?
Been a long time. I am here, yes.
Dean, I know that when Mamma Mia, the first Mamma Mia came out, you were not that pleased with it.
Oh, you trash a movie about 1,000 times or so, and right away you're pegged with hating the movie.
I didn't say hate. I just remember it made you sick to your stomach. I remember.
That's how I remembered it, too. Now, it's 10 years ago, so I thought maybe my memory wasn't I wasn't remembering the original movie correctly, because when the first one came out, I thought I had that same perception that you did.
Yeah.
I hated it. So I went back and I watched it recently, and guess what? It still sucks.
It still does to this day. How about that?
But I mean, it sucks, but
horrible,
it's...
in my opinion. Some
come
people
on,
love it.
It was just fun. Yeah. It was a fun movie.
The first
Judy,
one.
The people that sang couldn't sing.
I they know. That then that was funny.
Well, you know, as I said to somebody the other day, there's something for everyone. If you want a movie where the singers are singing off key, then that's your movie to watch.
And Dean,
but,
be
you know,
honest.
Truly, there's something for everyone. But now there's a new version out. The sequel is out of Mamma Mia.
And can they sing?
Yes, they can. Believe it or not, I actually like the second. This is this may be the first time where I've loved a sequel way more than I've liked the original. 1,000 times better than I liked the original.
Wow. How come? What are they doing differently?
A couple of things. The story is a little more cohesive because they had a little more freedom in how they could structure the story. You know, let's explain what it is in a second. You know, the first one was based on the stage musical, which I loved, but I just didn't think it translated very well to the big screen. But to me, the biggest problem of that first movie was that they took big name actors who were marginal to awful singers. Pierce Brosnan himself admitted to me that he should have never been in that movie. He should have never sung a note.
Wow.
He said it himself. So I'm not alone on that.
Yeah.
In this second movie, the heavy lifting in the singing department is left to younger actors who are really good singers, or a singer maybe you've heard of named Cher, who you know, has had like 26 albums and a fair amount of success on her own as a singer. So the singing is much better in this song. Now, there are not as many high-profile actors in the second movie. That's part of it. But it's fun. The movie succeeds at being fun and entertaining. The storyline is this. It flashes back and forth 30 years ago to when Meryl Streep's character was a young girl, and it shows you how everything that you saw in the first movie came to be, juxtaposed with present time when the Meryl Streep character has passed away, and it's her friends, it's her family, it's her daughter, it's the three guys who are possible fathers to her daughter, how they're dealing with her loss and trying to live up to her legacy and keep her dream alive. So they have a lot more flexibility with this story, and it bounces back and forth between the actors from the first movie and younger actors playing younger versions of all of those people in the movie. I enjoyed it. Cher is a scene stealer in this movie. She's not in the movie very much, but when she is very impactful, and she sings the song Fernando in the movie, which is great. Meryl Streep is in the movie even less than Cher is, but she has literally one scene in which she is also very impactful. So I liked it. I wound up liking Mamma Mia. No one was more surprised than me. I give it a Dean's List B.
Didn't see that coming. There's an actress in the movie named Lily James who I know from Baby Driver. She played the girlfriend in Baby Driver last year.
Right.
She plays
the young Meryl Streep. She's the young Meryl Streep character. Yeah.
I like her a lot.
Donna. Young Donna. And she's very good. She is a very, very good singer. Very attractive. Very charismatic. She's quite good. Amanda Seyfried is back in the movie as the daughter Sophie. Dominic Cooper, it was her boyfriend in the first movie, her husband. So it's a nice cast of some veterans and some fresh faces. Lesser known ABBA songs. There are a few of the classics that they brought back, but a lot of ABBA songs that are not the big hits anymore. Still very entertaining though. I'm recommending this.
Wow.
Just for like a fun couple of hours.
And Dean, can I expect to see middle-aged women dancing in the aisles of the theater? Because that's
time.
What I saw
yes.
the first time.
Yeah,
big time. That's this theater was packed with middle-aged women who, you know, just wanted to have a good time. all of them, by the way, shooting dirty looks at me as they were coming into the studio because
they remembered your first review.
A couple of them said when they were walking in, oh, no, Dean's here.
Dean, I didn't even see it in the theater. I'm going to go see it at Chico's.
Very nice.
Yeah, it'll be more fun.
Yeah, very nice.
I also
think Lane Bryant may have an afternoon matinee.
I'll go see it at Lane Bryant. The film reviewer for Time Magazine said Mamma Mia 2 is both atrocious and amazing. That's hard to pull that off.
I didn't get the atrocious part. I mean, it's pleasant enough. You know, I wasn't expecting Citizen Kane with Mamma Mia 2. I thought it was pleasant. You know, it's interesting in many ways. It's a prequel and a sequel at the same time.
Yep.
You don't see that very much.
Godfather 2 did that too.
Yeah, that's actually very true.
Yeah.
I never thought that I would be putting Mamma Mia and Godfather
2
in any category of any kind ever in my life.
That's incredible. All right, now we only have a couple minutes, but tell me about Equalizer 2. I thought the first one was great. Is the second one great?
I think the second one is also great. You know, this is Denzel Washington's first sequel ever that he's done. I was surprised when I learned that.
Yeah.
But he's back with this very interesting character, this mild-mannered sort of, you know, living his life under the radar, not bothering anybody, not getting involved in, anything in any big way, except when someone has done wrong. And then he becomes a vigilante for people who are treated unjustly. We learn a little bit more about him in this movie. We learn a little bit more about his background and what motivates him. The movie is in some ways very much like that Liam Neeson series of movies where he's got a special set of skills that the quiet sort of family man. Denzel Washington isn't really a family man in this movie, but he's the quiet guy who has this amazing set of skills to eviscerate somebody if necessary. And the movie bounces back and forth between his quiet home life and helping kids in the neighborhood and helping people who are being ostracized because of their religions and their faith to big, huge international schemes. Denzel Washington is, as always, the epitome of cool in this movie, and I root for any guy who's over 50 years old who's kicking people's butts.
You're on
their
side.
I am for that guy 1,000%. He does a really good job in the movie, and I liked it. There are some things that are a little bit improbable that somewhat don't make sense, but you know, you give it a pass because Denzel delivers everything so resolutely in this movie. Gave that one a Dean's List B.
Excellent.
There's a little independent movie called Blind Spotting that stars David Diggs. He won a Tony Award for being one of the original actors in Hamilton on Broadway. It's a story that he wrote, and he stars in this movie that's about friendship and the abuse of power by authorities and rehabilitation and reconciliation. It's gritty, and it will remind you of an old Spike Lee movie, that kind of visceral, raw feeling to it. I thought it was quite good, especially in these times where we're still seeing abuse of power happening every day. I gave that a Dean's List B. And this little movie that a lot of people are talking about that's called Eighth Grade.
Yeah.
It follows a young girl who is in the final weeks of grade school, about to graduate, and you go through this very troubling time with her of being that age, of going through adolescence and going through obnoxious classmates and changes and troubles at home. It's a character study, really. I wouldn't say it's kind of a coming of age movie,
mm-hmm.
but it mostly is just a very matter of fact slice of life for this young girl, and it's very well acted. It's very interesting. Really, my only criticism of this movie is that at the end of it, you're going to feel like you spent a half an hour with a bunch of really obnoxious preteens. And, I felt like Clarisil was oozing out of my body.
Oh, no. What's Dean's List on this one?
at the end of the movie, but I gave it a D plus.
All right, that's not terrible. Dean, thanks so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
All right, have a good weekend.
Take care. That's Dean Richards.